This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. For the followers of the African traditional religion known as voodoo, every deity has its personality, like the gods of ancient Greece. Some are capricious, some seductive, some vengeful. Practitioners must follow a set of rules and rituals as elaborate at times as Roman Catholic canon law. Voodoo is not just a religion. For its believers, it's a way of life. In the second of three National Geographic radio expeditions on voodoo, NPR's John Burnett reports on what it takes to become a follower of this religion.
Followers of voodoo would recognize this rhythm as a song for Sakpata, the powerful divinity of the earth. A group of dancers is thanking Sakpata for a recent rain for which they'd prayed in the village of Kove in the West African nation of Benin. The reddish earth of the ceremonial ground is the same color as the rusting tin roofs of the houses. Women dancers wear white bonnets, cowrie shell necklaces, and bright print dresses whose mottled pattern imitates the marks of smallpox. Sakpata is also the spirit of smallpox. Initiation into the cult of Sakpata, or any voodoo spirit, is a complex process akin to rebirth. At the beginning, the voodoo priest in charge of the novices must consult the oracle. In Kove, the oracle is a lanky, one-eyed old man who sits in a wooden chair all day waiting for clients. A young helper throws the seeds, shells, and bones, and with his good eye, the oracle searches them for patterns that reveal the desires of the gods. It is the oracle who determines which deity will choose the voodoo initiate. This is how a slight, shy woman with large almond-shaped eyes named Wikajo became the spiritual wife of Sakpata. She invited us into the courtyard of her house, not far from the ceremony ground.
Our life is different from normal people. Because I am an adept of voodoo Sakpata, there are some laws which I must follow. I cannot eat guinea hen, because the pattern of the feathers looks like the marks of smallpox, which is of Sakpata. After market day, I am not allowed to have sexual relations with my husband, who is a human being like me. I reserve that day for my husband, Sakpata.
Under the tutelage of the voodoo priest, Wikajo spent 9 months sequestered in a special temple where she learned the esoteric knowledge of Sakpata. This included a secret language, dances, diet, and rituals. Her cheeks were scarified, and she received a new name. The initiation and the reintegration celebration are costly for poor families. They must pay for the fetish priest, sacrificial animals, musicians, and food for guests. Yet the tradition continues because people here cannot imagine living without a supernatural guardian.
Voodoo Sakpata protects my children and my husband. When I started to sell rice in the market, I asked Voodoo Sakpata to help me, and he gave me good luck.
Voodoo practitioners, whether in Kove or Miami or Sao Paulo, venerate their spirits through offerings. At a voodoo priest's house in Lomé, the capital city of Togo, a gourd of crimson blood from a freshly sacrificed goat sits next to a man offering prayers. It is common for a family to leave a plate of fried fish and yams or pour a glass of gin onto the house voodoo shrine. But important requests require the sacrifice of a chicken, a goat, or a cow. Human sacrifice in this part of West Africa ended around 1900. The family will not waste the meat of a sacrificed animal. They eat it. It is the blood, however, that is sacred. Jean-Vier Hulunan, a tour guide and voodoo practitioner in Benin, says before an animal is killed, he will whisper his request into its ear.
And when They cut the throat of the animals. The first blood which jumps, according to us, goes to the spirit.
Animal sacrifice, polytheism, and spirit possession are common features of traditional religion throughout Africa. Voodoo, or vodun in French, is simply one well-known and intense form of it that's practiced in the coastal nations of Benin, Togo, and Ghana. Another characteristic of voodoo and other African religions is ancestor worship. For example, the family of Janvier Holunon invokes the spirit of his deceased grandfather to resolve their problems.
So they make some ceremonies to call his spirit coming back to the house. Now we start killing chicken, animals, to give a friend to his spirit, which become like that for us, a voodoo of our family.
Anthropologist Wade Davis encountered ancestor veneration when he was researching Haitian voodoo for his book, The Serpent and the Rainbow. He has come to West Africa to explore the religion at its source, as part of the National Geographic Society's Ethnosphere project to document and celebrate cultures around the globe.
And one of the things that is so clearly going on in all African worship that we've witnessed is this marvelous dialogue between the living and the dead, and this sort of notion that this is a religion that is not talked about, but that is lived. You know, that the people move in and out of their spirit realm with an ease and impunity. And that's, I think, why African people say that, you know, white people or Europeans go to church and speak about God, we dance in the temple and become God.
In the land of voodoo, the dead are thought to walk among the living during the dance of the hooded egungunes. The word means return of the spirits. At the sound of the drum, dancers here in Kove of the secret Egungun Society are believed to be possessed by ancestral beings. Dressed in fantastic head-to-toe sequined costumes, they whirl like dervishes. And when they spin, the fabric of their costumes flies up. Special guards attend the Egungun's with wooden poles to prevent any part of the dancers from contacting the spectators. It's believed if the spirit of death touches the living, he or she will die instantly. Indeed, twice during this ceremony, spectators passed out when a whirling egungun touched them. They were quickly carried away to be revived. And yet, even as some onlookers recoiled in fright when a dancer approached, others shouted at the hooded figures, daring them. An egungun would finally race off after a group of village boys, which scattered in delight. Nothing like taunting death. For Radio Expeditions, I'm John Burnett, NPR News.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR News and the National Geographic Society. Tomorrow, the battle between good and evil in voodoo. There are photographs and more on voodoo at npr.org.